I'm very sympathetic to the idea that Stan discussed about the ability of art to transport one to another plane. That painting, say, can do something similar to poetry and music. I guess I find frustration about how hard it seems to be to find that with contemporary art, which often aims for the exact opposite effect. Then, of course, there's the issue of why you want to be transported anyway. But there are many questions around the complex nature of art. In my study, to go into one question, over on the project table, I have had for some time a folder with a working title of Ontological Security, or perhaps it should be Insecurity, if I can explain with a couple of examples. The first, there's a classic old colonial travelogue book called A Pattern of Islands by Sir Arthur Grimble, a one-time governor of Kiribati in the South Pacific in the days when it was called the Gilbert Islands. On his way out there as a young man in 1914, he stopped at Ocean Island, now called Banaba. This island is situated all alone in the vast ocean, hundreds of kilometres from its nearest neighbours, Nauru and the Gilberts. It's a place you'd be hard put to find even with a map. Grimble himself contributed to a fascinating literature about how the Polynesian sailors could navigate by their intimate understanding of clouds and wave patterns. The island is a coral reef perched on an old volcanic peak that rises steeply off the ocean, the deep ocean floor, 2,000 fathoms below. When the great ocean swells are running, they shake this little island. The old fisherman would whisper, "Behold, Tabakia moves a little." Tabakia was the great turtle who lived at the bottom of the sea and balanced that column of rock on his back. They believed that one day he would move too much and topple it over and engulf the island in the roaring waters. But, as Grimble tells us, and I quote, "the thought did not trouble them mightily, for they knew that their hero ancestor, the far voyager, the all-conquering warrior and lover, Owl of the Rising Sun, would see them safely through the end. Every new dawn was his repeated guarantee of that. So when someone whispered, 'Tabakia moves a little,' it was enough to answer, 'The sun rises,' for everyone to be comforted again." The second example is the Aztecs. In her book of that name, Inga Glendinnen describes how they lived in abundance most of the time, yet represented themselves as living on a razor's edge, how they saw themselves as toiling along a windswept ridge and abyss on either hand, ever fearful the sun would not rise the next day. We know well enough how the Aztecs responded to this perception of their existence. With a frenzied paranoia, they built a culture of human sacrifice that reached an industrial scale. For me, at least, their cruelty was of a similar order to the Nazis, and for reasons that were no more justifiable, coming as it did in both cases from a people with a highly developed polity and a culture of art and beauty. Glendinnen doesn't attempt a definitive explanation of this ontological paranoia. She refers to a book called The Sons of the Shaking Earth. The author, Eric Wolfe, discusses the geological volcanic environment characterized by frequent seismic shocks and the rough climate of the Mexican Plateau. But there have long been people, and many today, living around volcanoes. A shaking earth was the only kind the Banabans knew. We can think here too of the kind of attitude to life and the cosmos found expressed in a book like Black Elk Speaks, perhaps a bit of a New Age classic. This would be closer to the Banabans than the Mexica. Yet the literature on North American Indian culture persuades me that they lived in a cultural continuum. That is, the Lakota of the northern prairies were not a people separated by any genetic or cultural chasm from their Mexica cousins. So my question is, what is it that makes one people react to the human condition with a calm acceptance, with confidence, not fear, and another with a sustained frenzy of murder and cruelty? At least part of the answer, I think, is in the stories we tell ourselves. We are a bit like the Banabans today on our little planet. Do we tell ourselves stories about what? Survival or inevitable extinction? We don't really seem to have much of a story to tell at all now. We keep busy waiting for the next version of Windows or the next gadget. Will Steve Jobs release a phone combined with a vibrator so you can dial 1300 for a thrill? Well, I don't have any definitive answer either, but I do feel that the job of art ought to be to tell the stories. It should find them and tell them and retell them. Maybe it's too much like hard work, but to me that is more important than self-expression, more important than pushing accepted boundaries, breaking down the barriers, challenging preconceptions or any of the other tedious cliches one often reads in writing about contemporary art. Anyway, ontological security is a file that will have to stay put for a long time yet.